Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text which we shall consider this morning is our gospel lesson chosen for this day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how many of you have a lucky number or a favorite number? Any of you have a lucky number? Well, let me tell you, my lucky number or favorite number is 18. My birthday is December 18th. My sister's birthday is April 18th. My parents' anniversary is October 18th. Our Old Testament lesson for this morning and for next Sunday comes from Genesis 18. But let me get back to this October 18th. That is not only the date of my parents' anniversary, but that's also a special day in the church year. Every year on October 18th, we in the Christian church honor and remember the writer of our gospel for today. We honor and remember every year on October 18th this saint named Luke. And so this year, October 18th falls on a Saturday. And so if I see you the next day here in church on Sunday morning, October 19th, and I ask you what we celebrated yesterday, you better tell me. What did we celebrate? The Feast of St. Luke. Now let me tie some things in regards to this St. Luke and our epistle lesson for this morning. Our epistle lesson for these past two Sundays, for the next two Sundays, and also for today, comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul's letter to the Colossians is one of three letters that he wrote in which he mentions St. Luke. Towards the end of this letter to the Colossians, Paul writes, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. And then in the shortest letter that Paul ever wrote, in his letter to Philemon, Paul writes these words, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, that is the second gospel writer. Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. And finally, in the last letter that Paul wrote, in his second letter to Timothy, a letter that he wrote shortly before he was put to death for his faith, Paul writes, Luke alone is with me. Now let me tie in our Old Testament lesson for this morning with our gospel lesson for this morning. In our Old Testament for this morning, Abraham and Sarah show a great deal of hospitality to these three visitors that they have. Three visitors who include our Lord himself and two of his angels. In our gospel lesson for this morning, Martha shows an unbelievable amount of hospitality to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hospitality is kind of a special gift that God gives to some people. And God also gives to other people the wonderful gift of receiving hospitality from others. Now, I don't have at all the gift of sharing hospitality to others, but I sure do have the gift of being able to receive hospitality from others. And so if you ever get this overwhelming urge to invite a dear old pastor over for supper on a Sunday night, or an overwhelming urge to take a poor old fellow out to breakfast, I'm your guy. Now, in the hospitality that Abraham and Sarah show to these three visitors, They went all out to show them this hospitality. They brought to these three visitors bread and water and milk and curds. They even butchered a calf and roasted that calf to feed these three visitors. Now, Martha, I don't think, quite went to that extent to show hospitality to our Lord Jesus Christ. But she wanted to show so much hospitality to our Lord that she got overwhelmed with anxiety and worry about how good a meal she could prepare for our Lord. Now, before I go on in this message, I want to share with you some unique qualities of this Gospel of Luke. Luke, more than any other gospel writer, emphasizes the ministry of women in his gospel. For example, Luke tells us the Christmas story, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, from a woman's point of view, from Mary's point of view. While Matthew tells us about the birth of Christ from Joseph's point of view. A few chapters earlier in our text, Luke mentions in chapter 8 of this gospel, I believe, that Jesus was supported in his ministry, physically, maybe even financially, through a group of women, which included Mary Magdalene. Luke alone tells us this story of Mary and Martha. Luke alone tells us about some miracles that Jesus did for the benefit of women. For example, Luke alone tells us how Jesus raised this widow of Nain's son from the dead. Luke also tells us some parables which he alone tells us about that involve women in those parables. For example, in Luke's gospel, we find Jesus' parable of the woman who tried to find one of these 10 coins that she lost in her house. There's some other things special about Luke's gospel. Luke, more than any other gospel, emphasizes the importance of prayer. Luke alone mentions that Jesus was at prayer just before he was baptized. And Jesus was at prayer right before his transfiguration. And finally, Luke emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do to see that is read the first couple of chapters of Luke's gospel. But now let's really get into our text for this morning. And to do that, I want to talk a little bit about the contradiction between our text for this morning and our text for last Sunday. In our text from last Sunday, also from Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us one of his most well-known parables. And that parable, again, is found only in Luke's gospel. How many of you remember what that parable was that Jesus told in our gospel lesson last Sunday? What parable was it? Louder! The Good Samaritan. And so in that parable, Jesus seems to put down this priest and Levite because they were so passive in helping out this poor fellow who was beaten, robbed, and left to the side of the road. They were so passive that they didn't help this poor fellow at all. But in the meantime, Jesus praises who? The Good Samaritan. This Good Samaritan winds up this poor fellow's wounds. He puts him on his own donkey. And he takes him to a nearby inn where he continues to take care of that poor fellow. The next day, he takes out some money and he pays his innkeeper to continue to look after this poor fellow while this Good Samaritan has to be on his way. But in our text for this morning, Jesus puts down Martha, who is so active in wanting to take care of Jesus and provide him with a good meal that she becomes so anxious and upset about the work that she has to do all by herself. While in the meantime, what does he do for Mary? He praises her for what? Just sitting there, sitting like a bump on a log, listening to Jesus preach and teach. How can there be such a difference in our two lessons from last Sunday to this Sunday? And how Jesus reacts in regards to this Good Samaritan versus how he reacts toward Martha in our text for this morning. Jesus seems to praise Mary for just sitting there while he kind of scolds Martha for becoming so worried and anxious about how she's going to serve Jesus. Now, how can you explain this difference? Well, in a few chapters earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us another well-known parable, a parable that's also found in Matthew and Mark's gospel. He tells us this parable of the sower. In that parable, Jesus talks about different kinds of soil in which this seed is sown by this sower. And one of those kinds of soil that Jesus mentions in that parable is a soil, there's a kind of soil which is full of thorns and thistles. That soil filled with thorns and thistles chokes the fruit that possibly could come forth from that seed of God's word. And in explaining that parable, Jesus says that this soil which is filled with thorns and thistles represents all those people who are choked by the worries and problems of this world so that it doesn't produce the fruit from this soil that it should. Well, that's what Martha was doing in our text. Martha was letting the troubles and the worries of serving Jesus choke forth the fruit that he was planting right in Martha's own house. The seed of God's word that Mary was listening to. And how many of us do the same thing, especially during these summer months? We let the cares and worries of different ball games that are being played on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, or we let the worries and the troubles of going out to the lake for the weekend choke forth the seed of God's word that is planted in us or to us every Sunday here in God's house. Now, earlier in this same chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus offers this prayer to his Father, and he speaks this prayer out loud so that people can hear him offer this prayer. Jesus says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus offers this prayer to his Father shortly before he tells us the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, Martha would have missed out hearing that prayer if Jesus had offered that prayer a little bit later on while he was in Mary and Martha's house. Martha wouldn't have hardly heard any bit of that prayer if she had been distracted by all the serving and cooking that she had to do while Jesus was in her house. Martha would have missed out on what God's gracious will is that he talks about in this prayer, and how God's will is revealed only to those who see themselves as little children, eager to learn. Martha would have missed out on how all things had been handed over to Jesus by his Father, and that no one truly knows God's Son except for God the Father. Martha would have missed out on who God the Father is, that no one can know who God the Father is except God the Son, and anyone to whom God the Son reveals this truth about God the Father. Martha would have missed out on hearing this wonderful prayer that Jesus offers to his Father. She would have missed out on that prayer because she was so busy and upset about serving the one who came down from heaven, not so that he would be served by others like Martha in his day, but who came into this world so that he might serve us and give his life as a ransom for many. In the next chapter of Luke's gospel, a woman comes up to Jesus and says to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." Jesus replied to this woman, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That's the one thing needful that Jesus talks about in our text. That's the one thing better that Martha could have chosen for herself, to hear the word of God and keep it. In this parable of the Good Samaritan, we can be sure that that Good Samaritan both heard the word of God and kept it. The first response that this Good Samaritan gives to this poor fellow who has been beaten and robbed and left half dead by the side of the road, first response that that Good Samaritan gives to this fellow is he has compassion for him. And that's what drives him to do all these other things that he does for this poor fellow. And the first thing that Jesus does for each one of us, poor, miserable, beaten up sinners, is he has compassion for us. That's what led Jesus to do even so much more for all of us than this Good Samaritan did for this poor fellow laying by the side of the road. Now, this week has kind of been a big week for several members of our church. About a month ago, we had a few ladies go to this big LWML convention in Omaha. Did any of you ladies go to that convention? Well, we have a few that went to that convention. And at that convention, all these ladies from all over the country, they did more things than simply elect new officers for the LWML for the next couple of years and vote for new projects that their LWML might would support. Those ladies during that convention did that one thing needful that Jesus talks about in our text. They did that one thing better that Mary chose for herself. They studied and listened to God's word being proclaimed to them. This past week, our youngest children attended our vacation Bible school, which we hosted from Sunday evening to Wednesday evening. Those youngest children who came to our church during those nights did more things than learn new Sunday school songs or become involved in making different crafts. They also did that one thing needful. They did that one better thing that Mary chose for herself. They learned stories from the Bible, stories about Jesus and Nicodemus, Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Beginning last night and running through Wednesday afternoon, we have about 30 young people and about 10 adults who are down in New Orleans right now, taking part in this great big youth gathering. And all those young people are doing more things than simply being involved in different serving events or doing some sightseeing in regards to this unique city of New Orleans. They are doing the one thing needful. They are doing that better thing that Mary chose for herself. They're learning about what God's Word has to say about Christian endurance in this very difficult time in which we're now living. Now, several years ago, there was this one brokerage firm called E.F. Hutton. How many of you have heard of that company? A few of you. They had a set of commercials that was very popular, in which they tried to gain new customers for themselves. In this series of commercials, there would be a great number of people all gathered together for some kind of party or celebration. And as these people were walking around and visiting with each other, right in the middle of that commotion, you'd hear these two fellows talking to each other. And one fellow says to another, "My broker is E.F. Hutton." And he says, and then all of a sudden, everybody else at that celebration stops talking and visiting with each other. And they stop talking so that they can hear what this one fellow has to say about what E.F. Hutton suggests or encourages. That's the way we should all be in regards to God's Word. That's the way Martha was, or that's the way Martha should have been in regards to God's Word, instead of becoming all worried and anxious about what she was going to serve Jesus. But at the same time, let's give Martha a break. Later on in John's Gospel, not Luke's Gospel, but John's Gospel, we read how Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus has died. It is Martha who comes out to welcome Jesus into their home as Jesus is coming to their home after Lazarus dies. It is to Martha that Jesus speaks those well-known words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Martha, do you believe this?" And Martha answers, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." We read those words in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I asked you if you had a favorite number at the beginning of this message. Well, maybe your favorite number could be 11 or 25 or 26 because of these very meaningful words that Jesus and, of all people, Martha spoke to each other. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ.